Hello, and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a near daily podcast discussing what's new and interesting in iOS, Apple, and related technologies. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show 0.8, and today is Friday, July 22nd. The format of Developing Perspective is pretty straightforward. I'll cover a handful of links and articles that I found interesting in roughly the last 24 hours, and then I'll have a more general discussion towards the end. The show will never be more than 15 minutes and never include third-party advertising. So let's get started. All right, first, a little update on the Lotsis patent dispute. Lotsis has now demonstrated that they are perfectly happy to go after anybody. Yesterday, they filed suit against a whole laundry list of additional people, including such famous as Rovio of Angry Birds fame, Atari, EA, Square Enix, Take-Two Interactive. And so basically, they're saying, anybody's fair game. We'll go after the big guys. We'll go after the little guys. We'll go after everybody. So not really great news, except for it's probably good that people with bigger pockets than independent iOS developers are now in the fray. So that definitely seems like overall a good thing, though there's not really that much good news when someone sues a developer. All right, next, there's an article over on The Daring Fireball talking about the iPad's dominance in the tablet market. And specifically, it's kind of just walking through how soundly the iPad is beating every single one of its competitors. From top to bottom, left to right, basically at this point, they've sold roughly, I think it's 28.7 million iPads. And a generous estimate, for example, of Android tablets is 1.3 million. So it's about 21 times the sales. So if you're a tablet developer thinking about running an Android app, it may not be worth your time. Next, and slightly related, an interesting thing that Google announced over on the Android developers blog is, as part of a way to address some of the device fragmentation issues, they're now allowing developers, or will be soon allowing developers, to submit multiple app packages. In Android terminology, these are called APKs, for a particular product, and then you can use that to differentiate between different platforms, different types of platforms, etc. Which sounds like it's good in theory for a way to address it. However, as a developer, that just sounds like a huge pain. Next is over on the TextMate wiki from on the Macromate site, they posted a article about some of the compatibility issues and challenges using TextMate on Lion, which is just good to take a look through. And they say at some point they'll fix them, but definitely challenging in the way that I feel about that right now. I've been using BBEdit all of yesterday, but this morning I broke down and installed TextMate again. There's something about it that's just so ingrained into my workflow now that it's hard to change to something else. And so I really hope that eventually they will update that and adjust it. And lastly, there's a great couple of links over from iFixit. Where basically they finished their teardown of the two latest pieces of Apple hardware. This includes the MacBook Air 13-inch that was just released, as well as the new Mac Mini. And if you're a geek at all, you'll probably enjoy watching this. I just love looking through. You see just some of the engineering and the polish that went into both the creation of the device and sort of from its inside out, which is really impressive given that most users will never see it. So it's just always sort of shows such an attention to detail in the creation of this hardware. So I definitely recommend looking at that. As always, it's got a lot of depth and is very, very thorough. And especially I was intrigued by some of the things that they talked about. On the Mac Mini, it looks like that is, as a follow-up to yesterday when I said that may be the best developer machine out there right now. That story continues because it seems as though it's incredibly easy to upgrade, change, and tweak and work with, which is something that you would definitely want in a machine if you're going to use it for a while. The MacBook Air, there was only a few little interesting things to look at. Mostly, the one that caught my eye is that the SSD hard drive is not soldered to the logic board in their teardown, which means that in theory, someone could be able to make a third-party replacement for that, which could be nice, which could be a way to save some money. Though something like that in a MacBook Air definitely would make me worried, because it's such a small, light, and highly tuned piece of hardware that replacing a significant portion of it like that would definitely worry me a little bit. All right, that's the links for today. Today's general discussion, I'm going to talk about advertising for applications. And this is something that I have a fair bit of experience with from a lot of my different apps. I've been doing app development now for well over 2 years, and I've tried just about every different way you can try and promote your application. I've tried the sort of click for install versions, the iAd for developers, advertising on podcasts and related things, using AdMob and all those. And mostly I want to discuss this in case it's something that you're thinking of doing for one of your applications. And if you are, I'm especially interested in trying to warn you that that's a bad decision. Generally speaking, at this point, you can't, in a cost-effective manner, drive downloads of your applications from advertising. You can create drive downloads, but it's very rare that you'll make your money back from them. I think probably the only people for whom this works is for services or larger infrastructure where they're trying to make more money than just the initial purchase from the application. So as an example of something like that would be a freemium game that has lots of in-app purchases or things. There you may be able to make it back. Or another example would be a service where there's a free app, but you need to pay a subscription, or there's a larger value to having lots and lots of users than just the initial purchase price. But if you're a developer and you're thinking about it, your experience, for example, if you go over to somewhere like AdMob and run a campaign, will be along these lines. You'll go, you'll say you give them $100, set up some nice ads, hit run. In a few hours, typically, sometimes even in just a few minutes, your $100 disappears, and they say, oh, 200 people clicked on your link and looked at it in the App Store. Next day, you'll open up your sales, and you'll see absolutely zero change. It seems as though the people who are clicking on those are not, by and large, people who are actually going to buy an app, or even necessarily get a free app. So definitely, that's been my experience when I've tried that. I tried iAd for Developers, which is Apple's own platform for promoting applications. I did a whole blog post about that, but it is, even that, still didn't convert in a way that was cost-effective or productive. I did an advertising campaign over on the 5x5 network that drove a lot of downloads. But even still, it was unable to really pay for itself. In that case, I didn't really mind as much because I really support what they do, and in many ways it was more of a contribution than necessarily buying ad space. But all the same, it's definitely, as a business, that's not necessarily a sustainable, viable thing, at least for sort of smaller applications. Maybe if you're selling a $50 piece of software, maybe you could make your money on that because you wouldn't need to convert nearly as many people. But I think the data for even less than like a 5x5 campaign is you'd need 1% of people to buy your app, and you don't see anywhere near that if your app was $2. So generally speaking, that's just something you probably want to stay away from. At this point, it's not something I really consider very much, other than the occasional trials and experiments here and there, just to make sure nothing's changed if a new venue opens up. But at this point, that's just not really effective. So, just something I thought I'd share from my experience. Hopefully, you can save a little money by avoiding that. But otherwise, that's it for today. I hope you have a good weekend and a good Friday, and I will see you on Monday. Bye.